big old rock star one day. But for now, I'm stuck right here behind this music stand. This is just another day. I'm in the sixth grade band. Turn to number 14 in their Essential Elements book. Horns up. One, two, ready, play. Sixth grade band is an awfully dangerous place. Like last week, my good friend Dr. Brock got locked in a tuba case. But you know, pretty soon we're gonna go off to band camp, and there's something you gotta understand. We learned how to rock.
In the sixth grade.
Music from Sugar-Free All-Star 6th Grade Band. Ting Tings before that with That's Not My Name. Start off with Will Sings Songs. Squirrels Run the World, title track from his new album. As I mentioned, he will be coming by the studio next week to sing some songs. Coming up after the break, we're going to have Mr. Greg right here, calling in to do an interview. Then some new music from them. Also new music from Parker Woodland, part of the Austin Music Experience. You should stick around. It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, and we are joined via Zoom by, I don't know, do we call you Greg Gardner or Mr. Greg? What do you prefer here?
I guess Greg Gardner, but you can call me Mr. Greg. That would be the first time that an adult has called me Mr. Greg.
It does seem a little bit weird, so I'm just going to call you Greg. How's that?
That's fine. Yeah, the kids in my classroom call me Mr. Greg, and I guess some of their family members do as well, so yeah, whatever is fine with me.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. You've got a new album that you did with I think we could call him legendary Cass McCombs. The album's called Mr. Greg and Cass McCombs Sing and Play New Folk Songs for Children, out on Smithsonian Folkways. What a great label for it to be on. And I think I'm right. We were talking before we came on the air, so I know I'm right, that you and Cass have been friends for a long time. Tell us about the friendship and sort of, and then also about how this record came about.
Well, the first time I ever met Cass or saw Cass, it was we were in the Bay Area. It was the 1980s, and we went into Nordstrom together to we weren't together, but we went to the same place at Nordstrom to go to a Tony Hawk autograph signing. He was doing a signing for Stubby's Clothing, which was a clothing brand at the time. And
Tony Hawk, a famous skateboarder.
Yeah.
Some context.
Yeah. So I loved him, and apparently 9 other kids loved him that showed up. And I got his autograph, and then I went along with my life. And then years and years later, which was brought me to last year, I was in Cass's basement, and I noticed a poster, Tony Hawk poster with a signature on it, and that was the same exact poster that I got at the Tony Hawk signing. And when I was at the Tony Hawk signing, I saw a kid with this Jeff Kendall skateboard with this really cool graffiti on it and like bright pumpkin on it, and I coveted that skateboard. And anyway, so I said, Cass, were you at that that signing? And he said, yeah, I was there. And I said, did you have the Jeff Kendall skateboard? And he said, that was me. So we were in that same place. That was the first time I ever saw him, but I didn't end up becoming friends with him until high school.
So which is not to say you're old, but it was a while ago now. So you stayed friends for all this time, and then how did you end up deciding we're going to do a record together?
Well, starting in high school, Cass and I started recording silly songs together and putting them out on tape and distributing them to you know, like five friends, and maybe I'd give one to my mom. And so we always had fun making music together, never doing it too seriously. And and then as an adult, we've kind of been doing the same thing. And one day when we were recording some non-kid songs, I said, hey, Cass, I've been making all these songs for the kids in my class. Would you record some with me? Because I'm not really a musician myself. I like to write songs and I come up with the words and melodies, but Cass is really the master musician. And I have some other friends that are great musicians as well. So Cass was kind enough to get together with me and record all these songs that ended up on the album. Some of them were in demo form first, and Cass kind of added to those demos, and lots of the other ones we just started from scratch.
And are the lyrics on the songs, are those all lyrics that you wrote, or did Cass, because I mean he's an amazing songwriter in his own right, did he contribute on the lyrics, or these are all your songs, your lyrics?
I know that's something that's peculiar, because he didn't write any of the lyrics for these. I came with all the lyrics and the basic melodies, but then he made them all sound really nice by adding the instrumentation, and yeah, so it's got the Cass McCombs sound on there a little bit
for sure,
but yeah, they're all my words.
That's great. I mean, the record to me sort of echoes a lot of classic kids records, Ella Jenkins, Lead Belly, Elizabeth Mitchell, maybe Johnny Cash, almost his children's record, maybe a little bit of For You to Be You and Me. I'm wondering what you and Cass listened to when you were little, if you listened to any children's music when you were little, or what it was that you listened to when you were sort of the age of who this is aimed at.
When I was little, I don't recall listening to too much children's music. I do recall singing This Land Is Your Land by Woody Guthrie with my preschool class when I was in preschool. And I think I knew the Take Me Riding in a Car song, the Woody Guthrie song. And then I think when I was an adolescent, I got really into Bob Dylan, and then started listening to the people that influenced Bob Dylan. And a lot of those people are on the Folkways label, a lot of blues and folk artists, Woody Guthrie and Lead Belly, and Ella Jenkins is on the label, but all those people that are on the anthology for American folk music, I got into all that kind of, that style of music, and Cass was already into that. I think Cass was like into country music when he was quite young, and folk music. So when we became friends in high school, we would trade records with each other and give each other cassette tapes. Like he urged me to get an Elizabeth Cotton record, which is not strictly children's music, but she does have Freight Train, and she has Shake Sugary songs that ended up being on lots of kids records sung by other people. And I guess in on a couple of Elizabeth Cotton records, she has her daughter or granddaughter sing, which is great.
Oh, I don't remember noticing that. That's interesting.
They sing Shake Sugary. I think her granddaughter does. It's very nice. But anyway, in high school, we were listening to that kind of stuff. So some of that was children's music. Some of it wasn't. But it was all kind of in the same vein of music that we tried to reproduce here on this record.
For sure. Yeah. I always a little bit surprised the way I got to Elizabeth Cotton was sort of backwards from most people. There's the band Firehose. I don't know if you know Firehose. It's like,
oh yeah, they've got the
In Memory of Elizabeth Cotton, and that sort of, it's a weird entry point for Elizabeth Cotton, but I remember listening to that. Yeah. Must have been high school or college, and say, well, I gotta find out what that is. So it's kind of an odd path to that.
Yeah. And were you happy with what you heard?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, very different And I guess Firehose was also my entry point for Daniel Johnson, come to think of it, because they covered Walking the Cow. So I guess I owe a lot to Firehose.
Yeah. Yeah, skateboarding was my entry point to Firehose because
that makes sense.
One of the Captain song was used in Nadas Kapas's part, who's this pro skater from the 80s. So I think Cass really liked Firehose too. I think he did. And but I like Firehose a little bit. I think I learned first about Firehose through that video, and then yeah. But I love Elizabeth Cotton. The records that she put out are some of my very favorites.
Yeah, now that you say that, I can sort of hear that in what you did, for sure. That's really cool. And then, well, I have another question that one of the other hosts on KUTX used to ask on her podcast, which is sort of to name a song or album that was pivotal for you, and I just talked about this, Bill, it's Elizabeth Cotton, in terms of making you decide that music was going to be a central part of your life, whether it's your career or not, but like a thing that made you say, ooh, this is a thing that has to be a big part of my life.
I'm thinking about one album. I think what's most important to me is just the kind of the community or just kind of the communal aspect of listening to songs and listening to an album, and how friends coming together and discovering something for the first time, and how that's kind of a magical moment. And I'm thinking of when I was in maybe early high school, and I was in an island near Seattle with a bunch of friends, and we came upon a rummage sale that had a bunch of bikes that were very cheap. They were like a couple dollars each, and an 8-track and a portable cassette player, and there was a Hank Williams cassette. And I remember we got the cassette player and the Hank Williams cassette. It was just a greatest hits or something. And I'd heard Hank Williams before, but just buying that cassette for probably 50 cents and the tape player for a couple of dollars and bringing that around with us around the island and going swimming and riding bikes and just listening to that sound where it's like so simple and beautiful that, you know, I just love this kind of spare instrumentation that Hank Williams had. And then the lyrics, I loved how so many songs were sad and also so many songs were gentle, but also quite deep. But then there are also some really silly songs in Hank Williams' catalog. So that was, that's just one musical moment in my life, but there have been so many others, and they always have to do with like the people that I'm with when I'm hearing it and where I am and what I'm doing. But kind of like anything that sounds like Hank Williams or anything on the Folkways label is kind of what I like to listen to most of the time. That's kind of what I hope to listen to when I'm falling asleep at night and when I'm waking up in the morning.
That's lovely. Yeah. There's a Hold Steady song that says heaven is whenever we can get together, sit down on your floor and listen to your records. And I always think about that. And I mean, it's such a big part of why I love live music is sort of everybody being together. And that connects in with that. That's great.
Being in the classroom and singing songs, that's kind of creates that communal feeling as well. It creates like a whole sense of community within the classroom, everybody working toward the same goal of trying to make the song sound okay. And that's something special.
Do you and Cass expect to do more? I realize this is just out like a week ago. So
no, but we made it we made it like maybe 2 years ago. So yeah, I hope to do more. Now he lives on the other side of the country, but I talked to him the other day. He said he'd like to do more. And so I'm sure that will happen at some point. We've got some songs already. We just have to get together.
I think it would be very interesting. This is just a thought to see what he would do if he was writing the lyrics to a children's song. I think that could be very weird and very fun.
I think it would work. We made some, when we were in high school, we made some children's books together where he would write the words and I would do the illustrations.
Oh, and I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, and one of them rhymed, so it could have been a song. I mean, I'm sure Cass would write some amazing children's songs, and I will urge him to do so if we put out another one.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, the new album is called Mr. Greg and Cass McCombs Sing and Play New Folk Songs for Children. It's out now on Smithsonian Folkways when you're hearing this. Let's play a song from it. What song do you think we should play for the folks at home?
Perhaps Each One of Us. That was one of the first songs that I ever wrote for the kids in my class. It's about, we sang it at the beginning of the school year when we were learning about one another.
A wonderful song. Chock full of authenticity. Greg, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you as well.
Hazel's lovely locks are wild and curly. Amy keeps her hair combed straight and tame. Freddie has a flat top, short and spiky. Each one of us is different, but we're friends just the same. Jake lives in a house with his two mommies. Jill lives in a boat on Lake Champlain. Kate has an apartment in the city. Each one of us is different, but we're friends just the same. Asher's eyes are blue just like the ocean. Isabel's are green like leaves in spring. Max's eyes are brown just like his grandma's. Each one of us is different, but we're friends just the same. Some travel to school by way of skateboard. Some ride on a speedy Muni train. Kathy and Katrina come by carpool. Each one of us is different, but we're friends just the same. Hank Jr., he was named after his daddy. Shasta Panda Irene Miranda has a long, long name. AJ's name is short, spelling it so easy. Each one of us is different, but we're friends just the same. When Faye grows up, she's gonna be a doctor. John will open a bookshop on State and Main. Matthew plans to be a modern dancer. Each one of us is different, but we're friends just the same. Each one of us is different, but we're friends just the same.
You'll find out just who was your friend. your friend. Don't be sad, I know you will. Just don't give up until true love will find you in the end.
New music from Parker Woodland, part of the Austin Music Experience, covering Daniel Johnston, True Love Will Find You in the End. They first put that song together for a showcase that we had at South By in 2022, I believe. Really love, especially kind of that punk end to that. They've got some shows coming up. You should go see them. They're great. Also new music from Mr. Greg and Cass McCombs, Each One of Us. Thanks so much for Mr. Greg calling in to chat with us. It was super fun to talk to him. What an interesting guy. What an interesting album. Instant classic. And hey, friends, we've reached the end of the show. Thanks for hanging out with me. My name is Bill Childs, with you every week. Come to you from our flagship station, KUTX 98.9. We're online at sparetherock.com, Facebook and Instagram at sparetherock. Send us an email at show@sparetherock.com. Listen to recent shows at sparetherock.com or at KUTX.org. All sorts of options. We start and end of the show with They Might Be Giants this week. It's Lazy Head and Sleepy Bones. Have a good week, y'all. Bye-bye.
Lazy Head. Sleepy bones always disagree, though everybody says they should be friends, they're too tired to see. When Sleepy Bones says he's feeling tired, Lazy Head wants to rest. When Lazy Head says it's number one, Sleepy Bones says it's best. When Lazy Head uses imagination, Sleepy Bones. And Lazy Head says it's not what it seems. Lazy Head and Sleepy Bones always disagree, though everybody says they should be friends, they're too tired to see.